How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Lots of news to get into on a weekend edition of the show. The year is almost over. Soon it will be 2018. And in 2018, we're going to find out who wins this SmackDown U.S. title tournament, which amazingly, they finally have revealed the bracket for. Matches in the tournament. Zack Ryder, Mojo Rawley. Their feud continues. Xavier Woods, Nathan English. These are the final two remaining matches in the first round. The winner of the Ryder-Rawley match will face Bobby Roode. Winner of the Woods-English match will face Jinder Mahal. So, it looks like probably Jinder versus Ryder, Rawley, or Bobby Roode. My guess since this thing started was Jinder Mahal versus Bobby Roode. I think that would be a good finale for the tournament. You put Jinder over, you make him the U.S. champion, get him out of that title picture, at least the world title picture. What better foreign heel menace is U.S. champion than Jinder Mahal? So I think that's where we're going, but I guess we shall see. Dolph Ziggler vacated the title, and according to WWE storylines, he has vanished. So who knows where Ziggler has gone, and when he shall return. So that is the lineup for the U.S. title tournament. Speaking of Ziggler, if you go to my Twitter, at Brian Alvarez, you can vote in this year's Geek of the Year finale. Coming down to Dolph Ziggler or Bayley. Who do you think is the biggest geek of 2017, based on everything that's gone on in the world of pro wrestling and mixed martial arts? Right now, with 4,300 votes in the lead, is Bayley. What do you think? You're welcome to give us a call today about any of this. 844-411-5411. That is 844-411-5411. Text messages to 425-780-7566. Kicking it off after the break, Wrestling Observer Live. We are back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Lots to talk about today. If you want to join the program, the phone number, 844-411-5411. Toll free, 844-411-5411. Open lines today. What's on your mind? Text messages, 425-780-7566. That is 425-780-7566. All of these numbers are up and available on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Quick plug here, if you are a subscriber, do not miss out some great stuff right now up on the website, including an interview we did yesterday with Kenny Omega. An hour with Kenny Omega, talking the New Japan Tokyo Dome show, his future, the match with Chris Jericho, the year of Kenny Omega, 2017, all of that is up there right now. And also, if you don't really get a chance, say you're busy, you can't listen to every single show, the best of 2017 audio has been going up. Part 1 and Part 2 have been posted. The best of this year, I believe, was 8 hours long. And so I believe it may be going up in 8 parts, the best of 2017. So this also would be a fun day to sign up because, hey, you can sign up today, listen to the 8 best of shows, and basically get a year of F4WOnline.com in your ear in just 8 hours.
It would have taken span of one work day.
Would have taken you hundreds of hours to listen to all of this live, and this is the best of. Now, granted, how it was only 8 hours, I don't know. Feels like
it will feel like hundreds of hours at points.
Should have been 80 hours, is what I'm saying here. It was all, every show we did was the best of 2017, in my opinion.
And it will be longer, actually, than 8 hours, because that does not include Tom Lawler's misadventures coming at me on behest of you.
Listen, I don't like to point out when you're wrong, Mike. You know this. But I do have to note, as we start off the show today, that, in fact, Ryzen did cancel Gabby Garcia's match after she missed weight by 26 pounds. Believe it or not, they didn't allow it to go on.
What happens now to the hashtag Pride Never Die? I can't believe that, actually. I could not believe it when she dropped to her knees in the middle of the ring and said, I'm just a normal girl. please have mercy on me. I have mercy. So much respect.
Were they
going to
kill
fans.
Her? What was this all? It was weird.
Right in front of Takata, she tried to cry so bad and could not work up any actual moisture to come out of the tears. But yes, I will say that I was completely wrong. I am shocked. I am stunned. I am amazed. Maybe pride do die. And the fact that they actually canceled this fight for her being 26 pounds overweight, and she probably would have been more than that because why not? Again, amazing. Why this guy, 53-year-old woman, though? I mean, come on.
Think about this, though, everybody. The contracted weight was allowing Gabby Garcia to come in 40 pounds heavier than her opponent. So by missing weight by 26 pounds, she was 66 pounds heavier than her opponent.
Who is 53 years old and has not been competitive in the one martial art that she has been good in many, many years. I mean, what did Dave say? She was 145 pounds and that was, what, 30 years ago?
I mean, I will say this, everybody. I will say this. This is kind of in defense of this fight. It's not really a defense, but here's what I'll say about it, okay? If this would have been... Let me try and think of a good example.
It's hard because this is Japan, so...
No, I'm trying to think of an example that everybody here in America could... I'm trying to make an analogy.
Yeah, I know. You pull it out of Tough Man. That may be where you get your best comparison.
No, I got a good analogy here, okay?
All right.
Let's say that Francis Ngannou...
Ooh, good call.
Okay? Was going to be fighting... Let me think of a good... Eddie Alvarez, okay?
Okay.
All right? Eddie Alvarez, let's say that he was going in at 155, and they said, Francis... You've got to make 205, okay? Francis comes in at 230. All right, he missed it by 25 pounds. So, do you allow a 230-pound Francis Ngannou to face Eddie Alvarez? The answer is, are you absolutely kidding me? No way. Because Ngannou's main strength is he almost kills people. He hits them so hard. He almost killed Alistair Overeem. So if he would have landed that uppercut on a guy that weighed 155 pounds, maybe he would have killed him. Now, in the Gabby Garcia fight, Gabby Garcia, she's a jiu-jitsu black belt. I mean, what was going to happen here? She would have taken Kandori down and she would have choked her out. That's it. Like, I don't picture any danger to Kandori's life. I don't see them standing there and slugging it out because,
Brian,
actually, you know who would be a good example? It's coming up this weekend. Chris Cyborg. Like, Gabby's not Chris Cyborg. She's a grappler. So, I wouldn't have put the fight together. All I'm saying is that it's very likely there would have been any punches landed. And if they were, I don't think she was going to badly injure her opponent. She would have just taken her down and choked her out.
You're right. You're right in that's probably what would be the case. But you used that same example when it came to Connor and Floyd in that, let's be honest here, Floyd's not going to kill Connor. And
yeah,
that's true. You're right. But again, you're talking about a sport where you're punching people in the head. Do you remember we were talking about that Johnny Morton fight from K1 Dynamite yesterday? And it was against Bernard Aka, who was at that time one of the wave of newer K1 guys that was coming in. And Johnny Morton got hit with a punch, and he was aggressive, and he had been trained in martial arts and all that sort of stuff. He took one punch that didn't even look all that devastating in reality, and he was basically out cold and not moving for a long, long period of time. He could have died. He could have a stroke later on in life. This is not something to play around with, and I know... professional wrestling is MMA and vice versa in Japan, you know, or at least MMA certainly is pro wrestling or viewed that way as spectacle, it is a TV show and all that sort of stuff. But at some point, you have got to step into 2018 here. And I know Rising, I know what their deal is, and I know what they're trying to go for, but they cannot continue to do things like this to this level. Yeah, but they were going to, and to do them to this level it's very, very dangerous, and it's a time that has passed a long, long time ago. Look, you talked about it with Rumble Johnson, about he was 11 pounds over. One of the highlights that always sickened me that they would show was that fight that he had against, who was it, Horiguchi or Yoshida, who where he weighed in. He missed. I guess the catch weight was 176, and God knows he was close to 200 pounds. It looked like in that fight, and it's like, whoa, what a spectacular knockout! It's like Yoshida weighs 160 pounds. I mean, it was just completely ridiculous. So I don't know. I'm done with that, and the glorification of it has just got to stop. Even in Japan, it's got
to
go.
Not to mention, as this person points out. Now, granted, I would not have put this fight together, everybody, and I wouldn't have allowed it to go on, but as this person notes, if you would have done John Jones versus Brock Lesnar, that is a 60-pound weight difference because of the giant gap in heavyweight from 206 all the way up to 265. So we would have seen something similar.
Yes, but you know, not necessarily, because you don't know what John Jones would have weighed, and you're also talking about a situation where...
Well, hold on. John Jones probably would have weighed about 225, right?
Ryan.
And then Brock, you know, cuts to 260, so he probably would have been about 280. So,
Brian,
you're still talking a substantial amount of weight.
You're right. And before we go to break here, though, then also scale that and compare John Jones to Kandori and compare Gabby to Brock Lesnar in this scenario, too. And it's like, John Jones has got far better chance against Lesnar than Kandori does, especially at her Asian experience level. It's just not right.
Listen, I wouldn't put the fight together, dude. I'm just telling you.
Now
granted, hey, listen.
Would you book the cup of noodles?
Hold on. I'll even argue against my own argument.
Oh,
ready?
Oh, my God. This is so meta.
I'm going to sit here and tell you why I might be wrong. Because Gabby Garcia has won 4 fights, but 2 of them have been via TKO.
Also female.
So,
Brian.
In fact, she might have gone in there and knocked the hell out of Kandori.
It was Jazzy.
That would have been bad. No. She beat Yumika Hoda and Lady Tapa.
Oh, that's right. It was Lady Tapa. That's who it was.
Back in a moment.
Sorry,
Wrestling
Lady.
Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here. Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. 844-411-5411. That is 844-411-5411. Text messages 425-780-7566. Very quickly, yesterday on the show, we were $80 away from Whale Scout reaching their goal and their annual fundraiser. I don't know who it was listening that donated the last $80 exactly, but a giant thank you to that person. Very much appreciated.
Yeah.
And the final Brian and Vinny Show co-host spot is now available. This is the last one. You can basically co-host a Brian and Vinny Show. Now, if you live far away, you can do it via Skype or phone, but the guy that won the most recent auction, he lives in Seattle, so he's coming over to the house for a pay-per-view and doing the show in studio. What a deal. So if you want to bid on this, you can head to my Twitter at Brian Alvarez. The link is there to the eBay auction. Currently at $405. There are exactly 2 days left, and it's over. You will not have another opportunity in all of 2018. So I recommend you head up there and grab it if you want it. Or buy it for Ryan, as I've suggested for some people, that they demand that he gets it.
Well
if you're demanding, go buy it for him.
So what is it like? Because I know that there's no TSA-style security because, like, you are a family of ninjas. You know, obviously your wife does charitable works, but she can choke somebody out just as fast as you can. And I'm sure Paisley at this point is throwing, like, you know, crescent kicks and things like that. But... like, do you have to pat the person down? Is there a process?
I got my gun collection right there by the front door.
Craig standing there in like a...
I'm locked and loaded.
A sleeveless t-shirt or
as
what?
As is Craig, yes.
Okay.
To the phones, you're on the air. What's going on? Hello, you're on
Hi,
the air.
Mom?
Yeah, you're on. What's up?
Oh, okay. Hey, Brian. Hey, Mike. How's it going?
What's happening?
All right.
All right, so I had two different questions for you guys. Number one, I want to know your guys' thoughts on Neil Magny actually continuing in the UFC, because I have a pretty big idea that he's probably going to leave UFC right after he gets beat this weekend. However, in the other way that I was going to ask this question would be the promises. I mean, I don't know if you guys watched TMZ yesterday, but Dana White wants to make Deontay Wilder versus Anthony Joshua, but the promises of that happening are probably not good in that era, and I just want to know your guys' thoughts. Thank you a lot.
Thank you very much for the call. Neil Magny. I never thought we'd ever get a call about Neil Magny.
Hey, why not?
I don't know.
Hey,
why
look.
Anybody?
I don't know, but I know he's at least trying to put on the best foot forward that he's going to beat Carlos Condit tomorrow. But
he beat Johnny Hendricks two fights ago. So, I mean, at most, he'd be on a two-fight losing streak. So
who?
Magny? Yeah.
I guess has it only been two fights?
Well, he beat Johnny Hendricks, and he lost to Rafael Dos Anjos, who, by the way, was the champion at 155, so I don't think that's not a devastating loss to lose to Rafael.
No, but one should point out that, like, beating Johnny Hendricks now should be something that everyone should be doing. If you are a 50-50 guy, I mean, to me, I know he gets hit with the gatekeeper role, and that's been, like, the way it's been described, like, kind of going into this fight, but it's like Hendricks at this point, it's like, you know, you should be able to beat Johnny Hendricks if you're on your way up or you're supposed to be where you're supposed to be. It just should be a shiny name on your record at this point.
All right, is that his boxing question?
Oh, when it comes to Wilder and Joshua, yeah, I mean, obviously there's all the promotional issues that take place, but, you know, if there is an allure to the UFC or to Dana White or to being involved with celebrity that WME, IMG could possibly give you, and he can get, I think it was Frank Warren, I can't remember off the top of my head exactly brain locking who Joshua was with, but like Premier, you know, with Deontay Wilder, if you can get this thing together, I can already envision three fights between these guys, and they haven't even had the first one yet. But, like, I could see that Lewis, you know, Riddick Bowe type of series or you know, Lewis Holyfield type of series taking place, or Holyfield Bowe, where, again, there's only so many guys that these two can fight. They are very close. While they are different in style, I mean, they do counterbalance each other. And on paper, it makes for a fascinating fight. It really, really does. And it's something that boxing fans really do want to see. And it's something that it could cross over. It's got the ability to cross over, and it's got the ability to cross over in two countries and do it on a grand scale. So if they can get this thing together, I mean, I don't care what Dana White or the UFC does all year long. I mean, if they could put that fight together, I mean, that far supersedes anything they could do in mixed martial arts, which I know pisses off MMA fans, but, you know, a heavyweight title fight of that magnitude, you know, in today's era is going to be pretty big.
All right, this text message here claims Tim in Miami donated the last $80. Well, I can't tell if this is actually Tim in Miami that texted this, so I'll take this person's word for it.
Is it the 305?
So the phones are on the air. What's going on? Hello, caller.
Hey, Brian.
Hey.
Hey. This is Ronnie in Mississippi.
Hi, Ronnie. What's up?
Love you, Mike.
Hey, cool. Thank you, brother.
We love you, too. What's going on?
Hey, you've been talking all week about Ronda Rousey fighting Asuka. I just wanted to bring up the question. You know that Stephanie's going to be like the front and center of this feud. She's going to be either the special guest ref or whatever, enforcer. Is there a possibility that it's Ronda Rousey versus Stephanie McMahon when it's all said and done?
Well, absolutely. I mean, absolutely that's a possibility. I mean, when they first did the angle with Ronda Rousey, it was with Stephanie. Now, I don't know.
Everything is with Stephanie.
Listen, I don't want to see this. Can we not have Stephanie McMahon facing Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania? Like, I know this is all about the McMahons. I know that Shane gets the best opponents at Mania. But, I mean, come on. Like, her role of late has been the mother hen of the women's division. She's brought this whole thing back. I mean, give it to Asuka, give it to Charlotte, give it to whoever. But not Stephanie McMahon. I'm begging you. I'm on my knees like Gabby Garcia.
Well, you know what, too? As the great heel that Stephanie would be in all of this, like, you know, if you're going to put Ronda with Paul Heyman, you know, how are you really going to tie that together? So he'd be working in cahoots with I don't know. I don't like that at all. If Stephanie went and like used Ronda to get back at the division that she created or something like that, I don't know. I think anything involving Stephanie McMahon, no matter how you book it into this, doesn't work. And it doesn't work as well as Charlotte, as Asuka, as Alexa, as anybody against Ronda Rousey.
First says about the U.S. tournament, is Baron Corbin's push over? Sure seems like it after losing the first round to Rude. Doesn't look good for Corbin right now. Well, first off, it didn't look good for Corbin when he lost the Money in the Bank briefcase, when he cashed in and failed. But he went right into winning the U.S. title. I mean, this would absolutely not be my pick. This is not even a prediction. But he could win the Royal Rumble and challenge for the SmackDown title at WrestleMania. I mean, there's a lot of things they could do. He could challenge the winner of this tournament at the Royal Rumble. He could challenge them at Elimination Chamber. There's a million things they can do. I mean, this is the classic example of just because a guy lost doesn't mean he's being buried. They had an idea. Seems like a stupid idea to me, but they had an idea, and they're going with it. So, I mean, they're even in storyline talking about how this isn't really fair that, you know, Baron Corbin is in this tournament for the title. I mean, I believe Shane McMahon himself flat out said, you know, it should be Corbin versus AJ for the title. Why is there a tournament? Why are these guys facing each other in the first round? There's a storyline here. I don't know what it is.
I'm sorry. I keep thinking about this Stephanie thing. Like, if Stephanie really, I mean, just the thought of her doing anything once again just drives me nuts. And really, when it comes to Ronda Rousey and WrestleMania, I mean, she can have, there's the excuse to have all of the TV time in the world, all of the time to do media, all of the time to put yourself out there and say, you know, this is what I did for women in this division, and this is what WWE's all about. It goes far further that way to put herself out there than it does to ever be involved storyline-wise, you know, other than to be the promoter of this, you know, of these festivities. And why she would have to be involved in it and the thought of her being involved in it just drives me nuts. And sooner or later, if Ronda's around long enough, of course she's going to be. And that just, it is painful.
It's from Absolute Intense Wrestling. We have some bad news to report. Our greatest fears have come true. Well, first off, your greatest fears? Sid did not board his flight this morning. After several phone calls, he finally answered when we used Swoggle's phone to call. Sid claimed Donald Trump's travel ban prevented him from boarding his flight to Cleveland this morning because of an unpaid speeding ticket, and he claimed this is new government policy since he didn't have his passport, even though he is traveling within the United States and is a United States citizen. We recorded his cancellation call just so there is proof of all of this, and we will do our best to play the audio tonight or on a future episode of our podcast. We apologize to all of the fans who are excited to meet Sid tonight, and unfortunately, this is something 100% out of our control. We invested quite a bit of money in this appearance. We have now lost out on close to $1,000 we will never get back on tickets, hotels, and merchandise that we had made for Sid. We are going to try and do our best to find a replacement, plan on spending the rest of the day making phone calls, and trying to get somebody there to replace Sid.
I'll come in for $750.
Hey, listen, let me just, I'm not defending Sid here, but I want to make one comment here, okay? This story sounds ridiculous, but in Washington State, starting like at any moment, you can't board an airplane unless you have a passport or an enhanced license.
Brian?
Which means that if I didn't have a passport and I just had my normal driver's license, I couldn't leave this state to go to a wrestling event. But I do have a passport. Back in a moment, Wrestling Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. 844-411-5411 is the phone number if you want to give us a call here today. Text message line 425-780-7566. All of these numbers are available on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. This person says, did you gain weight? I saw photo with beard. Good for you, dog. What's that supposed to mean?
Is he talking about the picture with you and Vinny and Tom?
I think he's talking about the picture of me and Filthy and Vinny.
You still look, I mean, what? It's not like there's fat hanging off your face. You got a beard.
I was maybe 155. So I guess I gained a little weight, but what are you trying to
drop a couple?
What are you trying to say here, buddy?
Didn't he look like he lost some weight? Did he?
I'm sure.
How fat is
all
Tom?
All I know is I got a buddy that's doing a, he's doing a deal at the dojo, like a, who can lose the most weight or do the biggest transformation. But it's like not fair. I'm already halfway to shredded. How could I possibly win? But you know I'm doing it anyway. And man, I took the most grotesque before picture yesterday. Little does he know, I'm a professional at this. I've done this since I was in my teens. So they stand no chance.
Was he a wrestler? I mean, does he have the ability to know how to cut
and
shred?
No, he doesn't know what he's doing.
Okay.
I warned him, too, that he would fail. But he's still trying, so I guess good
for him. Really are, like, you know...
Competitive? Yes.
No, well, I've... Yeah, well, that, but like, you know, of the Gracie family, you know, you're going to be out there armbar and takata, aren't you?
Why not?
I mean, Jesus, like, are you, now, do you picture yourself as a Helio? Do you picture yourself, where are you? Are you just Hickson? Or how,
no,
where
I'm
do
not.
You rank
are you
on
kidding
the Gracie
me?
Scale?
I'm not Hickson. What are you talking about?
So, I mean, because obviously you're like, you're step up from Hoyler and everything. Like, are you the Henzo of
You're trying,
oh,
to get,
dojo?
You're trying to get me killed? Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. What's up? Hello.
Hello?
We're gonna
you're on the air, buddy.
Parts out.
What's up?
Okay. So, what are your thoughts on Jinder Mahal possibly beating Bobby Roode to the United States Championship?
Where you been, buddy? I talked about this at the beginning of the show. I think he should. I think he will.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think he will. It's either that or Ziggler could pull a screw job here since he's clearly not done.
Sure. Anything can happen.
Well, all right.
Anything else, buddy?
Nope.
Okay. Hey, have a happy holiday.
Yeah.
Man. These are open lines, as you can see, everybody. 844-411-5411.
Aiden English and Xavier Woods in the U.S. title tournament.
Yeah, what about it?
Naturals to
why?
Be.
Why is this in the tournament? I don't know. It was like it's like I complained about no brackets, and so they threw up some stupid brackets. Which, by the way,
They misheard you. I thought you said no brackets.
At least two of the competitors didn't even know they were in the tournament until the brackets showed up on social media.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Can you
tell people stuff in advance? I mean, did it have to be a secret who was in the tournament?
No, it's just because they didn't know. Because you look at it and you go, well, okay, why are Big E and Rusev, if you're going to take respective teammates, why are they not in this thing?
Well, they
why
got bigger it... plans for Rusev, clearly.
Let's see.
And the other two
obviously.
Members of the New Day could win the tag team title, so there you go.
And I'm fine with Jinder Mahal in the U.S. title. I mean, let's work this thing down slowly again. Let's see if you can extract any more juice out of this thing. No pun intended.
This person says, I'm wondering, how do I join the board? I go to it, and there's nowhere for me to sign up. It says, log in.
Don't do it.
No, log in. Like, put in your username and password for the main site and log in. That's how it works.
You got to be a member for that.
Well, he says he's a member.
Ah.
So there you go. All right, let's go to the phones. You are on the air. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? Tim in Miami. What's up with these callers not ready to go today? This is giving the callers a bad name. I just wanted to weigh in
this
on
this gives the callers a bad name, Tim? Yesterday. Go ahead.
Huh?
Nothing,
okay.
Go ahead.
You just ruined my train of thought. Oh, so yesterday
that's my gimmick.
Talking about whether Rhonda should face Charlotte or should face Asuka.
Yes,
I think Asuka is a much better choice because I can't imagine.
Of course you do, because
like
you're a smart man.
Standard women's match with collar and elbow tie ups and, you know, drop down leapfrog spots. I think they're probably going to want it to be almost like a real fight atmosphere, kind of like Samoa Joe versus Brock Lesnar was over the summer.
Tim, my man, let me interrupt you for a second. I want to tell you how right you are. Okay.
Oh my.
So.
Absolutely.
So,
and then he's going to argue against himself. This is going to be amazing.
I'm going to argue against you, actually. So,
God,
you mentioned when you were arguing for Charlotte, you said something to the effect of, like, Charlotte can do a smoke and mirrors match, right?
She absolutely could.
Okay. So my argument is, listen, Ronda Rousey, like, why would Ronda Rousey, the UFC multi-time, I mean, she wasn't multi-time champion, but she was, you know, whatever. why would she come in for a smoke and mirrors match with, like, chairs and smoke and mirrors and whatever else? I mean, if she comes in, the idea should be Ronda Rousey, the UFC star, the armbar queen, is coming in to face somebody in, like, not necessarily like a UFC match, but like Tim said, Samoa Joe, Kurt Angle. Or if you imagine what would be another good example they've done in recent years of something like this? That's what I imagine them doing with Ronda Rousey. And so in that case, I mean, the best opponent is an Asuka, not a Charlotte.
I got what you're saying there, but I will counter that argument with, why would Ronda come in and not immediately knock out, because she has faced women such as Holly Holm and has actually felt power before? And let's be honest here, you know, Asuka as a fistic fury is not exactly Holly Holm. And why
would
she...
What are you talking about? That's her gimmick, that she kills people with strikes and then submits
them. No. She's been beating them with arm bars. And
yeah, after she kicks him half to death.
But, I mean, come on. We're talking about Holly Holm here. You know, she's faced in the UFC, and then she's going to come in and not beat Asuka very quickly with an armbar. I mean...
No, that's the point. That's the point. If you imagine...
This is just about what your version of pro wrestling is. And again, I'm not fighting that Asuka and Ronda Rousey is not going to be a great matchup. I just thought for WrestleMania purposes, with media, with all of the other hullabaloo around it, that I can get more mileage out of Ronda's first big one being against Charlotte Flair than I can out of Asuka.
I don't think
you can. It's not demeaning against Asuka in any way whatsoever, but it's like... to me, again,
okay,
this is
in
about
the fake
pro
world
wrestling.
Of pro wrestling, in the fake yes. world of WWE, how in the world does Charlotte outrank Asuka as the most dangerous woman on the roster?
Not the most dangerous, but the biggest woman in the roster. And then you can still look. We still haven't even established Asuka as a champion yet. And yeah, she'll probably win
the
Rumble.
She's undefeated.
She will be undefeated, and if she can win the Rumble and then obviously beat Alexa before WrestleMania comes, which sets this all up, but still.
Okay, so do that.
Can I weigh back in?
But
yes,
why not,
of course you
but
can,
to me,
Tim.
Why not Charlotte first and then Asuka later on, building up to that big epic thing later on?
Because I don't want Ronda's first match to be with Charlotte doing a professional wrestling match. That kills the whole idea of bringing in Ronda Rousey. Just bring in any random girl then. You're bringing in the fighter Ronda Rousey. Yeah. Who's the fighter in WWE?
Brian.
There's one fighter. It's Asuka.
Right.
Yes.
No, it's Sonya Deville.
Brian, if you guys are talking from a kayfabe perspective, I mean, Ronda should snap Charlotte like a twig in 10
yes.
seconds.
Why? But so why would she not do that with Asuka? Asuka's not a real fighter, dude. She's
WWE,
a pro wrestler.
In WWE, she is a real fighter.
No, she's not. You're bringing in a real fighter, and that's what you're saying.
How in the world?
Asuka has a 2-year undefeated streak. She's the most dominant woman on the roster. And I think it's just in terms of the credibility of her work, she is so much more believable in that role than Charlotte. And if you want to talk about mileage, here's how you get a lot of mileage out of Asuka. Is you have Asuka beat Ronda Rousey the first time. And then they play it up like, well, you know, it was her first match. She's going to keep training. She's going to get better. Then you do a rematch and Ronda wins. And now you've got a huge money third match. That's how you get mileage out of this. Not beating a little twig like Charlotte.
Little twig, like the biggest female name in the company, arguably.
She's tall, but
actually,
I mean,
she is.
Come on. That's
and
it.
Incredibly athletic, too. Yeah, a little twig.
Yeah, she could have a great wrestling match with another professional wrestler.
Yeah.
We're talking Ronda
God.
Rousey here.
Yeah, I think you're underestimating the machine at WrestleMania that way if you don't think they could pull off a Charlotte Ronda, a good match at WrestleMania. I don't believe that to be true. And
let's be honest here.
Asuka could barely beat Emma.
I've seen Charlotte have a bad match with Sasha Banks. Okay.
Well, that's not hard. Is
okay.
it really?
So,
is that really
so
that hard?
I've never seen Asuka have a bad match with anybody. So
also, too,
if I'm in charge, she's the one facing Ronda Rousey.
Let's be fair, though, to what is the cause? Like, a lot of times when it comes to those matches, it's how they're structured and what they want them to go out and do and the formula of those matches, where at WrestleMania, again, you expect them to put their best foot forward. So, no, I would not expect to have like your pedestrian everyday Sasha Charlotte thing. You know what I mean? Again, this isn't the worst thing in the world, but I would just prefer Charlotte and Ronda.
Well, you're in the minority. Hey, Tim.
Fine.
Hey, Tim. Thanks, buddy.
Yes.
Now argue against yourself.
No, I'm not, because I'm not wrong on this one.
Jerk.
This person says Ronda should squash Charlotte. This person says, I may have turned the corner. Use a format similar to Goldberg and Brock for Ronda and Asuka. Quick match with submission or MMA moves. Yeah, it'd be awesome.
Actually, it would be, yeah.
I think. This person says, the name Hulk Hogan has been thrown around to face John Cena at Mania. How would you feel about that matchup? Should this be Cena's last match? Well, first off, it's not going to be Cena's last match, no matter who it is. And, I don't know. I don't think Hogan can pass the physical, so I think it's going to be Cena Undertaker.
Yeah, I don't want to see, I mean, come on. That Cena Undertaker makes a lot more sense in a lot more ways.
Burr says, Brian, you're wrong for once. Mania is all about the mainstream big money match. Right now, that's Charlotte, not Asuka. Flair name is big. Asuka's not known to the casual fan. Listen, buddy. If you think the name Charlotte Flair means a thing to the mainstream, okay, it means nothing. I love Charlotte. This is no disrespect to Charlotte. Charlotte Flair versus Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania. The name is Ronda Rousey.
That's what you got Rick there for, brother, and she can bring in Jean LaBelle. You're missing the possibilities.
Dude, let's go to the phones. You're on the air.
Oh, hey, guys. This is Chris from Brooklyn. I had a question about, I finally got around to seeing Final Battle 2017, and I'm not always in agreement with Jim Cornette, but I was a little disappointed with that tag team match with the Young Bucks, and I was just wondering if you thought that the sort of blatant choreographed spots with all the drop kicks and everything will hurt ROH in the long run.
Okay, listen, buddy. So ROH has had, in terms of like growth, the biggest year of any company in the entire world. WWE, New Japan, any company. All built around the Young Bucks and the New Japan guys. The Young Bucks merchandise is blowing up Hot Topic. This is not hurting the business at all. Like, there is no possible way to argue that it's hurting the business. You could maybe say the reason that Ring of Honor is up is because of the New Japan connection, and the Young Bucks have nothing to do with that. You could maybe try to argue that if you want to, but it's going to be a tough argument to convince people. They have been nothing but a positive for this company doing these kinds of matches. So I'm afraid I can't argue that it's been a negative.
Okay. I saw Final Battle live last year, and when I saw the card this year, I didn't see it live, but I saw it live last year, and I just felt like this year seemed a little more overall more choreographed in general.
Well, I mean, that match was very, very choreographed. I want to thank you very much for the call, but that's what this audience is paying to see, and you've got to give it to them. Like, listen, I loved Ohio Valley Wrestling. If these fans bought tickets to Final Battle and they got an Ohio Valley show, it would be an utter disaster. You got to give the fans what they're paying for. Back in a moment, Wrestling Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com. Mike alerted me during the break, if you have an Amazon Dot, Audible is part of that. Which means if you do an Audible free trial on your Amazon Dot that you got for Christmas, you can listen to Death of WCW free. How about that?
It's awesome.
So check that out, everybody. Amazon Dot, Audible, Death of WCW. The book I co-wrote with R.D. Reynolds. Bestseller. I want to mention the couple of notes here. This from Wrestling Online Newsletter. Forbes had a list of YouTube videos uploaded in 2017 by WWE. And the video that got the most dislikes from the fans featured Roman Reigns. The night after Mania, where he declared WWE is his yard. Whopping 35,000 dislikes and only 27,000 likes. Number two, another Roman Reigns video. 23,000 dislikes.
God, How many likes, though?
If WWE finds out about that, he's out of that main event position. That's social media voting there.
Let's see. Now that was.
And actually, hold on. One other thing, because we're low on time. So on the Wednesday show, Dave and I were arguing about this Roman Reigns-Samoa Joe match with a DQ finish. I don't even know how long we went on with this. There was a method to their madness. There is a rematch this Monday. Roman Reigns, Samoa Joe for the title. If Roman is DQ'd, he loses the belt.
How about it?
So in fact, they are going to beat Joe or Reigns just a week later. That's it for today, everybody. We'll be back later on with more. It looks like no show on Sunday, but we will be back on Monday. But you know what? Plans change, so we may be here Sunday. You never know. Check it out anyway. Sportsbyline.com. Full listing of all the shows that we do in the time slots. want to thank Mike, as always, for a great year. Everybody in the studio, callers and listeners, talk to you again next time. Wrestling Observer Live.